Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of Offstage. We'd like to welcome our four listeners from last week's episode on Hot Takes. We do want to tell you that we've been intervened with. But for now, I'm Greg Pinkner, the teaching pastor at Middlebrook.
For now.
Head fellowship at Middlebrook Pike in Knoxville, Tennessee. At least for now, exactly what my partner in crime is saying.
I'm the pastor formerly known as R.D. McLennigan. Great to be with you again. If you've joined us again and thinking, my gosh, they're still here. Well, for now.
For now.
But it's great to be with you for another episode of fun and truth. And
right.
This one will be another one, Greg.
This is another one. And if you listen to our last episode of Hot Take America, we're going to try to make this episode Hot Take light because we obviously can't follow that up. And if you're also going, this sounds a lot like this because we recorded it 5 minutes later.
Well, now they know all the secrets, Greg.
They know the secrets.
Don't tell them what goes on behind closed doors. But
that's
yes,
right.
We're recording this one, and this is based on the title of it, one that I think you're thinking, yep, this one, I know where this one's coming from, to some level.
To some level. And so faith versus fear. Faith versus fear has become one of the talking points of the pandemic, especially among Christian circles.
Yep.
And in some ways, it's used to try to help people consider what they're saying, what they're thinking about. But it has also become, in other hands, a bludgeon against people.
Yeah.
Usually coming from the right toward the left regarding the pandemic. But it's also, its argumentation points are also being used by the left against the right on a lot of other social issues.
Yep.
And so this is not necessarily culture-wide, although it does apply to culture-wide, but this is more in the house of faith.
Yeah, in-house.
I think RD and I really wanted to point out some of the flaws in the argument and then hopefully help distill some of the issues around that where this kind of argumentation is used. And so when you first started hearing this kind of faith versus fear talk, specifically, let's just go pandemic first.
Yeah.
When you heard about the pandemic first, what were your thoughts and how have you come to see it?
Yeah, the phrase predated the pandemic, of course.
Sure.
But it really, the volume got turned up and you were seeing it on Facebook posts, you're seeing it on Instagram posts, you know, you're seeing it on shirts of people, you know, at the mall, you know, just this more in-house Christian, probably the more conservative bent, where its faith is stronger than fear and that we are living in a fear-based culture that is just afraid, and God says, don't be afraid.
Right.
God says, do not fear, right? And it is the most common command in the Bible. We're going to talk more about the actual instances of the command itself.
Right.
But just it's catchy as a shorthand.
Sure.
You know, it's sticky as a shorthand, where because we have God on our side, we don't have to be afraid, right? We don't have to be afraid of pandemics. We don't have to be afraid of what's happening in culture. We don't have to be afraid. And as always, there's enough truth there.
Right, exactly.
That you can't just say, that's crazy.
Right.
But then they put you in a box where it's like, well, so are you choosing fear over faith? It's like, no, I didn't.
Right.
That's not, whoa.
Right.
By the way that it's phrased, you're put on the defensive.
Right.
And you're seen as someone with less faith, you know? And so I feel like, you know, obviously with masks, with vaccines, with a pandemic has been a perfect incubator for this mantra that's been growing where it's just saying, hey, we have faith in God, and so we don't have to fear man. We don't have to fear things that are man-made.
Right.
We don't have to live in fear. Like, why are you so afraid of this? And if you give in to this, you know, then you're choosing fear over faith, and God says to have faith. And I just remember being like, that is not, one, what faith really is, and not what fear is talking about in the Bible. You know, there is so much more nuance to it, but it's taking over. And so I just proposed to Greg. I said, Greg, I'd love for us to do a deep dive on really when someone says faith over fear, you know, I think we've kind of described what that shirt or what that mantra means is a very vanilla, generic kind of don't be afraid of this particular thing in front of you.
Right.
Because God is greater.
Right.
So as we think about, you know, the very kernel of truth in that, Greg, where might be a good place if someone's like, you know, I've also kind of wondered about, is that really right? Is that actually what the Bible says? Where where might we begin to dive into Scripture to kind of understand more of defining faith, defining fear, and how they actually go together biblically in light of that phrase?
Right. Well, the phrase limits your discussion of this. If you're going to go to your Bible and you're going to look up fear, or you're going to look up faith, it limits the scope of where you can look to like six places in the New Testament, maybe, maybe six. The vast majority of the time, the word fear is used in the Bible. And let's eliminate. David was afraid of, you know, this guy of, you know, Saul killing him or those kind of things. When God is, when it's spoken in the Old Testament and the vast, vast, vast majority of the New Testament, it is God telling people not to be afraid of him.
That's right.
Right. In some instances, in other instances, it's him saying, you better be absolutely terrified of me, which I know you're going, could you do an episode on that? We should do an episode
actually
on
would
that.
Be, yeah.
That'd be a good one. And I say that because a lot, not all, a lot of the verses people use to say we shouldn't be afraid of COVID, we shouldn't be afraid of vaccines, we shouldn't be afraid of, you know, the of this or that, are actually phrases from, especially the New Testament, where the writer is actually talking about God in the gospel. He's not talking about your life or your, you know, your relationship with your boss, or when it says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear. Okay, that is the person in the gospel to not be afraid of judgment because they know who Jesus is. That's the verse. When you say, well, doesn't that apply everywhere? No. No. The first rule of biblical interpretation is it means what it means in the context.
Exactly.
That's what it means. It's saying, hey, believer, perfect love drives out fear. Yes, because God is love. And now you know that because he loved you, he sent his son to pay the price for your sins. You will not be condemned. Your fear of judgment can be gone.
Yeah.
So many of those verses are about that.
Yeah.
And so it's no different than taking any other place of Scripture and trying to pull it out of context and say, look at how this applies, right?
Yes.
It's the football player who has, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, playing football and go, God will help me dominate. That is about Paul facing trials of being beaten for the gospel. It's not about you getting four sacks.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, and it's something that every Christian has done.
Yes.
Like, this is not... Every Christian has done it.
Yes.
Yep. We all do it by accident.
Yep.
Sometimes we know better and we do it anyway. Every Christian has done this.
Yep.
So I don't want to like go top rope off people.
No.
But there is places where the Bible is talking about fear and to not be afraid. Yep. And you have to be very careful about those because there are some places where the Bible is talking about the believers saying, do not be afraid of them.
Yeah.
And in general... Paul is speaking about the government and he's speaking about, they're about to put me to death. The rulers of this town are about to beat us.
Yep.
Most specifically he's writing to Timothy, Second Timothy. Paul knows he's about to die.
Yep.
Like it could have been written the day before. We don't know, but he literally puts it in it. I'm about to be poured out like a drink offering.
Yep.
You can do the imagery with what's about to happen to him. They're about to let out his life's blood and kill him. He's going to be poured out like a drink offering. And he's writing to Timothy, who's having all this trouble with the Jews in Ephesus. And he's saying, don't be afraid of them.
Yeah.
But it's also in the context of spreading the gospel.
Yeah.
Right. That is not in the context of God in judgment. It's in the context of you're trying to spread the gospel. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
You could. And I think the context gets missed because people go, don't be afraid. God's going to deliver you. Paul taught himself not to be afraid, and he was beaten and tortured and arrested and beaten and shipwrecked and bit by a snake. So I think understanding the context of a lot of those things is really important.
Oh, it's hugely important. I would encourage you, if you're like, well, I need a little bit more on this. I guess it was season one or season two, we did a couple deep dives on the Bible, how to interpret the Bible, how to read the Bible, context. We talk a lot about that. But I do think it certainly bears repeating to some level here is... you know, you think of a lot of the fear verses perhaps in the Psalms, a lot of them around David.
Right.
And they're very particular to his environment, to what he's going through.
Right.
You know, are there ways that you can extrapolate some generality to it, yeah, you can. Like, you know, you don't have to be like, well, this has nothing to do with anything in my life. You don't want to go too extreme, because then just scripture doesn't translate. But what God wants us to see is that there are scriptures that translate to our experience, and they're ones that are very tied to what was going on.
Right.
And there are principles to pull out of that that translate, and there are others that do not.
Right.
And when it becomes shorthand, when it becomes a bumper sticker, you know, it's we put it on a bumper sticker because it's easy to remember. And in our moment now, just kind of, you know, short takes, hot takes, that just seems, it makes more sense, faith over fear, versus let me unpack the context of this. Well, you've lost me. I don't want to understand the context of it. I want, give me the shirt.
Right.
You know, love wins. That's a phrase.
Right.
Right. Well, yes, in a way, God does win, if that's what you mean by love.
Right.
But that's not always what people mean by love.
Right.
You know, so that doesn't make any sense. There's different phrases that sometimes arise out of scripture, sometimes don't. And
right.
To be careful about what they
mean.
What they mean. Because, like you said, Greg, it applies on both sides.
It does.
You know, it's not just the other way, because culture can then use it against, you know, the Christians and say, hey, you know, judge not. That's what the Bible says, judge not.
Judge not. That's
right. I'm going to make all the judge not shirts, and here we are judging. Well, that's not actually the context of that, what Jesus is talking about there, right?
Exactly.
Because in many other places, he does say to do that, and there are ways to come down on people there. You got to speak truth. So you want to be careful, especially as a Christian, to say, I'm going to hold up this catchphrase in a way that you would not want someone to do that for a lot of other catchphrases or a lot of other dumbed down type things. And so always you don't want to check your brain at the door. You know, God is love. You can say that and you can believe that, right? The gospel is the good news about Jesus. You can shorten it, right? But always be ready when you shorten something or kind of distill it down. People that, you know, if you teach a lesson to kids, you have to know your stuff running back, a good lesson. You've got to know your stuff running backwards.
Right.
It is not easy to do that to get them to understand it.
Right.
You can't just wing it.
Right.
You know, if you want to give, you know, Mark Twain, I think his famous quote of, you know, would have written you a shorter letter, but I didn't have the time.
Right.
You know, like in this sense of like, it takes longer work to write shorter, to write
exactly.
Clearer. And so to be Christians and say, I can distill this down because I can unpack it, because I have a sense of what it means, so that when someone asks me what fear over faith means or faith over fear means, I can say, hey, in this context, God is saying have faith over fear.
Right.
And here's what it means. So again, I think that is the longer work, the harder work.
Yeah.
And in our moment now where so many things are just easy, right? Let me just Google this verse and get two sentences off the top of what it means versus let me actually read the whole book.
Right.
Let me read the whole Gospel of John and actually, oh, this comes up like seven different times, whatever this thing is.
Right.
And it means several different things. So, okay, I got to look somewhere else now. What are some, what trust it? So, I think going deeper is a good thing.
Yeah.
And to make it clear, not to be muddied, not to make it more unclear, but if you're going to have a sentence or a phrase, I would say make sure that you've done the work on the front end so that you can unpack what that actually means, so you're helping people know what the Bible says instead of just a catchphrase that you heard somewhere that actually distorts what the Bible says.
Right.
Because that is not helping people understand the Bible and the nuances of it and the truth of it.
Right. It's not at all. And it goes into, it's not just that it warps the meaning of what it meant, but it also doesn't accomplish usually what you want it to accomplish. I'm going to take a step back from just using the concept back into the theological assumptions.
Yeah.
So let's say whatever it is, you're saying faith over fear, right? And because this is so, it sounds like we're just talking about the pandemic, and we're not.
Yeah, we're not.
Just talking about the pandemic. This is what the argumentation style is, what people of a leftward bent would say to the right wingers about issues of sexuality.
Yeah,
they would just go, hey, just love people.
Yeah.
Just love, right? We are basically saying love over what I perceive to be as you being afraid.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's the exact same thing.
Yep.
So I know if you're more rightward, you're probably, this is just the one that's in our face right now.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's all over the place.
Yep.
But let me stick to this. if you're saying faith over fear, what do you mean? Because I think what people intonate, some people I think have a right understanding of it, and there's not many, but I do think there are, and we shouldn't assume that that people all mean the same thing. But if you're saying faith over fear, what do you mean? Do you mean, well, if I get COVID, I won't die or I won't have bad? Is that what you mean by faith? Okay, let's do the rundown. All the disciples had faith in Jesus, and they were all tortured and executed besides John, every single one of them. So was Paul. Jesus had more faith in God than any person ever, and he was lied about, tortured, and murdered. You go on and on. If by faith over fear you mean nothing bad will happen to me, then you don't have a right understanding of the Bible. And I understand what you're trying to say, and I'm going to throw something out here. Don't, if you haven't listened to our hot take, America,
what are you doing with your life?
Episode yet. That's going to be good because this is a hot take. Not everyone, but many people are using the faith, the Jesus is my vaccine statement, right? That is the prosperity gospel. And I use that term with all of its weight. It's, and you're going to say, no, it's not. I'm not one of those preachers saying, if you believe in Jesus, you'll get rich. Those same Benny Hinn guys go, have faith in Jesus and you'll be healed. And there's no distinction, none. And I know that probably has gotten a lot of people really mad, but it's really accurate. Jesus does not in 1 second promise us in any second that our lives will be easier because of our faith in him. He actually says the total opposite. Your lives are going to be a way a lot harder because of your faith in me. What he says is, if you die, you don't have to worry. That's what he means. He doesn't mean, you know, your life's going to be easier if you have faith and you won't have to deal with stuff and you won't get sick and you won't be poor and you won't starve and your land won't go to war. He has never meant that. And so I totally understand the person who's trying to say, don't be afraid of COVID. You have a savior that is going to save you if you got sick and died or whatever. And I have total sympathy for that person who's trying to say that. But the person who's just throwing out, Jesus will never get COVID because we got Jesus, has not looked at the New Testament seriously. Well, that's too harsh. Has not integrated it well. They're allowing their politics to overtake that. It's the same thing for the person who just goes, you know, love everybody and God is love. And so you should love every person and never tell them that they're sinning because God is love. Well, you know, Jesus came in and told people, oh, you're a whitewashed tomb. You're a dog. The judgment day is called hell for a reason. And when we make the Bible's warnings into slogans to fit an agenda, we rob them of their meaning.
That'll preach. That is it right there. And I totally agree with that. You know, if you feel like, oh, okay, this is really about COVID, even though they're saying it's not, just pick pre-COVID, pick a different illness or a different disease. And I think many more people would have said, oh yeah, just because you have faith in Jesus doesn't mean that you shouldn't pursue ways to not get that or to treat that. We would say that about, any number of diseases. And, you know, having faith in Jesus does not mean a life without suffering, a life without fear, a life without anxiety, a life without wondering. What it does negate is, at the judgment seat, fearlessness. It does negate, hey, in the things that can really destroy me, I don't have to be afraid of those powers, the principalities.
What was it Jesus said? Do not fear him who can kill your body. Fear the one who can kill your soul.
And I think to have a fear of God, which we should do that episode on, what is fear of God, and God says, yeah, fear me. Fear me. And to walk in fear of me. And I think to then look and say, okay, because like the prosperity, that is so right. One of our kind of false American gospels is prosperity gospel. It is a health and wellness. And if you have enough, it's works-based. If you have enough faith, then you won't walk through this thing. And I think we see that all of the time. And that is not ever what Jesus says. I mean, David has fear left and right. I mean, the man is afraid most of his life almost. You read the Psalms. And in one verse, he's like, you know, I never have fear, Lord. Three verses later, I am terrified. You're like, yeah. Wait, how many people wrote this psalm? David wrote it.
He forgot what he was writing.
That's right. And we all live like that. And I think that, you know, it doesn't mean you walk around your life just fear of everything then and saying, well, sure. I guess now I'm afraid of everything because Greg and RD or the Bible actually, no. Like you can lead with a sense of confidence. You can lead without, you know, just, you know, a sense of fear of people in the sense of their opinions of you or beliefs about you. Yeah, okay. But don't run it to the level of where we see so much of in our culture of there's nothing to be afraid of if we have faith in God.
Right.
The only thing that is particularly true of is judgment, is the end times, mm-hmm. is justification, right? Is your standing with
sure.
God.
Sure.
And then there are other things in which it may or may not mean. So that's the big point of what we're saying. Start with the major theme of fear and faith in the Bible. Right. Faith in Jesus, right? The essence of things not seen, right? The Hebrews 11:1, trusting right. in Christ for salvation, having faith in that which is given to you by God, right? Instilled in you by God.
Right.
So you don't have to be afraid of Satan or of God in the same way that you should have been before of mm-hmm. him, of his ability to cast you out. Now can live in a different way of reverence toward him, a different type of fear than you had before.
Sure.
So that is the big point. And then distilling it down from there and saying, okay, so what does that mean? You know, I'll ask you, Greg. So like practically then beyond, I mean, that's very practical, obviously. It's your faith. It's your life.
Right.
But in terms of, well, should I then be, you know, afraid of, you know, something happening with, you know, is it unhealthy to then be afraid of something happening in my company?
Right.
Is it unhealthy to be afraid of something ever happening to my kids? Like, should right. should I not be afraid of that? Should I, you know, like on some of those things, Greg, what might be ways to navigate some of just the day in, day out stuff that we can be afraid of? Should I be afraid of getting in a car accident, you know,
right.
when I get in my car?
Right.
What would be ways to kind of, you know, ferret that out that would be helpful for people that are maybe wondering downstream of God and judgment seat.
Sure, sure.
What does fearlessness actually look like?
Right. Well, it's important to note that God made us in his image, but he also made us to be in relationship to that image, right?
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is he made us in his image, but he didn't make us all of what he is. And so he also made us to be, like think of it, he made the sun and he made the moon.
Yeah.
We are the moon. Right.
Yeah.
We are in the image of God, but we also reflect it.
Yeah.
And so there are things about our emotional life that we won't see in God's character, but are put into relief by God's character. Fear is one of those things.
Yeah.
God can't ever be afraid.
Yeah.
Why can't he ever be afraid? Because he has all knowledge. He has all power. You can't be afraid if you always get your way. Right. So fundamental to his creation of us. Call it the necessary consequence of creating us is we have the emotion fear, and he called it good. It's good. Fear is a good thing. Fear is a very good thing. And I know everybody's going, no, I've been taught that fear is always bad. Okay. There's a difference between the fear of I can never get in the car because I'll be in a car crash. That is elevated to phobia.
Yeah.
And phobia, fear is running your life.
Exactly.
Right? That is a wrong place to be.
Yeah.
A phobia level is a bad place
That's
to be.
Good.
There are places fear has taken your life because of trauma. Okay? You grew up in a terrible family system, and now you won't engage the dating scene, or you won't marry someone because you're like, I'm never going back.
Mm.
That is where you need some counseling.
Yeah.
Because you won't see it as fear has taken over my life. You'll see it as I've taken control. But you've actually taken control in an unhealthy way.
Mm-hmm.
You may not actively be afraid. You may, because you won't feel it until somebody gets around there and starts picking it. And you realize, oh, that's totally what it is. I don't want to go back to a situation like that. But there's also ways fears are really good, right? If you're walking along, you know, if you're going hiking and you see a mama bear and a baby bear and you're not afraid, something's broken in you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Something's broken.
Yeah.
We also have to realize that God makes every single human attribute in humanity exist in a bell curve. It doesn't matter what it is. Height, attractiveness, musicality, humor, doesn't matter what it is. And so there are people who are, most people fit within the middle 30% of fear. And then there's people who are overly afraid. And there are people who are not afraid at all. Like a great example is Free Solo with Alex Honnold. They did an MRI on Alex Honnold and they found that his brain does not register fear like most people's brains. So the dude who climbed El Capitan with no ropes and just went, I'll go try it. He wasn't made to feel fear. So we all exist. What I'm trying to say is we all exist in a spectrum. You all know friends that you're like, oh, they get terrified of everything. We know friends who are like, they'll do anything. They don't care.
Yeah.
And understanding where people are. But, you know, to the high end of your question, Andy, when you say, how do we walk this out? One, is fear controlling you? That's not a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because you aren't made for one aspect of your personality to totally dominate you. You aren't made for that.
Yeah.
Is trauma in your past triggering fear? That's another thing. There are people who are dealing with the pandemics because they're germaphobes.
Yeah.
And they're expecting the rest of the world to live like them. Well, aren't you used to the rest of the world already not living like you, right? There's all kinds of ways we have to navigate this. Fear is really good, right? If I talk to my boys all the time. I said all the time, I'm trying to say, I have one boy who's really controlled by fear and one who's not. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, listen, I don't want you to be afraid. And they'll go, what does that mean? I'll say, I don't mean that I want you to try jumping off a house. I don't mean I want you trying to tame lions. That's what I don't mean by don't be afraid.
Yeah.
What I do mean is they might laugh at me if I try out for a play. I'm going to do it. I shouldn't ask that girl out. I'll try it, you know?
Yes.
But when it comes to the pandemic, we are so rubber stamping people and saying, well, this person won't go out in public because they're controlled by fear.
Yeah.
Well, do you know their health situation? Are their elderly parents living with them? What's their spouse's? Like, there's all kinds of factors we can't know, and we can't rubber stamp people.
Yeah.
But I also want to go back to, we've really been talking about the pandemic, and that's where it is. And again, but it's the, you know, young adult or millennial who is starting to go more leftward in their economic theories. We should try socialism. And just going, why are you afraid? This system's terrible. It's not fear to go, wait a second. If we tear this whole thing down, you think it's going to be really easy to build it. It's not going to be really easy to build it back.
Yeah.
Stop labeling everything as fear or resistant or that, and try to understand the whole of what's happening.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I think right now to, you know, defend the right, and I've said this on multiple podcasts. It is unhelpful for people to go, you shouldn't be afraid of this vaccine. You're ridiculous. When going, oh, they've never made a vaccine like this ever before in the history of humanity.
Yeah.
Well, you should just take it. That it was not crazy to go, I'm going to wait and see.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I am going to wait and see what happens. But the narrative had been built against anybody who even was going, I want to wait and see what's going on.
Yeah.
The narrative had been built that they're fools and anti-science, and it's ridiculous. Yeah. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah. That those people are just living in a lack of fear, you know, or just,
their fear's in a different place.
It's in a different place.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, I remember when I did get vaccinated, and I remember pulling up to get my shot, and I was, you know, very much, you know, up
and it was
the,
early.
It was very early. And, I remember being like, oh man, I'm so excited. And as I pulled up to actually, it was just through my car window. I had like probably a couple seconds as I was like second or third in line where I was like, God, they're about to inject me with something.
Right.
And I do trust it, but I'm also, it's different when they're about to inject you.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Like, this thing didn't exist several months ago.
Right.
And it's about to be in my body and you can't just take. So I remember in that moment, I was actually a little bit afraid as they were like sticking me. I was like, I hope that this actually is like, there's that.
Right.
And I was fully for it and am, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but even me in that moment had some like very much trepidation of it. And then to think about, you know, now with it being approved for kids to think about, well,
yeah.
I'm not gung ho about, you know, Amazing Chameleon. Oh, no doubt in my mind. Of course. Like, no, I don't think that right now at all.
Right.
And it doesn't make me a bad Christian or someone that is that. And so for those of you, as a great example of that people are hesitant, you know, I think, again, to approach people with kindness and grace and respect versus like just assuming their motives.
Right.
And the slogans being on both sides, how you view someone, the prism through which you see somebody is what they subscribe to, you know, versus who they are as an image of God.
Right.
Or if they're a Christian, you know, in Christ, being the dominant lens through which you see somebody and assuming the best of people versus, well, here are all the reasons I know why, because you voted for this person, you believe this. So I'm just now going to, you know, these are your motives. It's like, well, okay, then we aren't even going to have a conversation. And I think, you know, we live in a world where there is much to be afraid of.
Right.
And you should have healthy amounts of fear,
right?
In some ways, because it can keep you safe and keep you alive, because the world's scary and it's broken.
Yes.
And there's much to be terrified of.
Yes.
At the same time, you wisely said, Greg, you cannot live in that.
No.
Just read the Psalms. He is honest about much to fear and yet still says there's so much good.
Right.
There's so much that is God and is, you know, like, You don't have to be afraid that your past has to become your future.
Right.
You don't have to live in fear of that.
Right.
Like Jesus can redeem that and change that. And so just even preaching the gospel to yourself and saying, I have faith in Christ, and those are helping to push through my fears.
Sure.
And so depending on who you are, some of you need to turn a little bit of the fear up in some ways and be like, actually, I need to be more wise about this. And some of you need to turn the fear down a couple notches because your life is run by unhealthy fear in ways that God is saying, no, you don't. That's actually not a part of this thing.
Right.
But we can all, I think, hopefully get clarity on, for this episode particular, like the fear we do not have to have anymore at all if we are in Christ is fear of judgment.
Right.
Fear that when, you know, 1 John talks about how can we put our hearts at rest in God's presence.
Right.
Well, because the blood of the Lamb pleads for us.
Right.
And that is the ultimate sense of faith over fear. We have faith in Christ so that the fear of God's judgment has no place to take hold of our hearts, which applies to how you think about how God thinks about you.
Right.
Do you still walk in this sense of God, I know he died for me, but he's still wanting me to pick up the slack on the rest of me. So I approach him in a way that is not actually in line with who he says I am.
Right.
You got to get rid of that. So all that to say, I hope this might be just a good push in some direction when slogan, like I love what you said, Greg, just the best thing, like don't let slogans on either side drive the agenda.
Right.
Do not dumb it down to that way, because then you just cheapen, so much, and so much gets lost. And faith over fear is one that I wish we could retire in some ways.
I
think it's more problematic than helpful.
I think so too. You know, if we're going to talk about the fear aspect of the pandemic on both sides, the left, and generally speaking, they did a survey recently on both the right and the left, and they asked people, what percentage of people who get COVID are hospitalized?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen this? What percentage of people who get COVID get hospitalized? And people who identified themselves as more left on the political spectrum said 50%. 50% of people are being hospitalized. The actual answer, they believe, is around 5%.
Yeah.
They don't know exactly, but it's not more than 10%. It's in the single digits. And so you're seeing a lot of states that have been in lockdown the whole time because they're going, we can't have anybody go anywhere and do anything. You can't do anything.
That is
just as much a fear as somebody on the right who was going, I want to see what's in this vaccine before I take it. That was a rational fear, but is still saying that despite hundreds of millions of doses being given. And then there are things that are totally out of whack. Like they're saying, we believe in the vaccine, but you still can't go anywhere. Like, okay, which is it? Like, which is it? On the flip side of that, the right is saying like, oh, see, it's only 5%. There's no problem. Which doesn't answer the 30% of people who get long hauler COVID. The right is saying, I'm afraid of these potential side effects of the vaccines, which are 1,000 times less likely to happen to you than getting COVID and dying.
Yeah.
So we have these.
Yeah, both sides.
Yeah, we have these. Yeah. We should all be in our houses and never leave. And you can't even go outside without a mask on in the middle of the 90-degree summer in the sun, you know, in the bright sunlight. Like, really?
Yeah.
That's the answer? Shut it all down?
Yeah.
The things that we allow to take, and again, this is all driven by partisanship in a lot of ways. It's driven by our echo chambers. It's driven by our friend groups and our families. And so there's a lot of identifiers that this is not simply distilled, but I would so agree, RD, when you're saying that, you know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And that is one of the very first Proverbs.
Yes.
The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And I would say a great way that fear can motivate you is to allow God to scare you into when he says, every person is made in the image of God. Every person deserves respect. You absolutely live by the fruits of my spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control. And if you don't, there's going to be a reckoning. And if you're sitting here as a Christian going, but I don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of being sent to hell. You should be afraid of the Holy Spirit disciplining you and going, oh, I got to spank you now.
Yes.
Because that is absolutely in the Bible too. So yes, we need to do a episode called The Holy Spirit Will Give You a Spanking.
Yes. Well, that will, that's a hot take right there.
That's a hot take.
In a lot of ways. I you know, finish here, Greg. I totally agree with that on a fear can be a healthy motivator into obedience, which may seem like what, but it can be in the context of everything else. It's not the only motivator
in
religious communities. It is the motivator. But in the sense of, hey, I don't want to fall into this.
Sure.
I don't want to have my life look like this, right? That's something you're afraid of. You're afraid of your life looking like this.
Right.
That is, you know, I think should come in order of first love for God and honoring him above all things. But you need also to remember that a fear of what can be or what the Holy Spirit may do, I think, is a motivator for us to become more like Christ as well.
Right.
And that's in the, again, to nuance that, you have to do that because you can rip that out and say, well, fear is the motivator for obedience. No, it's one of the motivators underneath security in Christ through the gospel and love for God and from God.
Right.
But it's not absent. Right, it's not just completely, well, that has nothing to, again and again and again, as people that love Jesus, we have to know what Jesus has said, what God has said,
right,
and how the Holy Spirit operates, right? That we have to know and be aware of these things and not just saying things that are not in line with what Scripture has said, which means doing the hard work of actually reading the Bible and reading the Bible. And reading the Bible. There is no other magic sauce to know who God is outside of reading how he has revealed his will, his heart, of loving him and fearing him and how they go together in honoring him and glorifying him as well.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us this week for this episode of Offstage. We hope you enjoyed it and we hope you'll join us again. We'll see you next time, Offstage.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to Offstage. We want to thank the awesome communications team at Fellowship Church for making this happen. Alex Defenderfer, Laura Benner, Sam Scott, great jobs, always. It makes it possible for you to hear and for us to do this. If you have any questions or topic ideas you'd like to hear, please email us at offstage, all one word, offstage@fellowshipknox.org.